Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you also may be. And you know the way to where I'm going. Then Thomas said, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Thus ends the reading of God's word. May he add his blessing to it this morning and write its eternal truths in our hearts. Amen. So, friends, kids, we are 4 days out from the end of school, which is very exciting. I cannot wait. I know you can't wait. People who are ready for summer, okay, everyone's excited about that. So, yeah. So, what happens magically on Thursday is you go from being a fourth grader to a fifth grader. You magically move up one grade. Well, there's going to be a day, and you don't believe this is ever going to come, where you're going to never again move up. You're going to never again. You're going to graduate, and that's going to be the end. You'll never, ever have that excitement over summer again. You'll just work, and it will never, 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 never get better than that. So it seems like it's never coming. Hey, I'm 38 years old, which means 20 years ago, I graduated from high school. It was my very last year of school and high school. And yeah, I mean, so people on my Facebook are now talking about a reunion, a high school reunion, a 20-year reunion back in North Little Rock, Arkansas. You know, I don't know if I'll make that, but hey, it would be nice to see everyone again, wouldn't it? You know, 20 years down the road, Meredith, same year for Meredith as well, my wife. And so she's thinking about that as well. It's on her mind. It's on her mind. Well, one unique thing about my high school is we had a really amazing foreign exchange student our final year of high school, my senior year. Her name was Beravon Yildiz. Okay, she was from Sweden, but she was Kurdish. She was just the coolest person. I mean, like, so much fun. Beravon really became, we called her B, and she was a part of our little group, our little friend group, and she's just right in from the beginning of the school year. She became one of our favorites, favorite people. And so right after graduation, of course, she had to go back. And, you know, this is a sad day for many of us. We all went to the airport with her and sent her off. She got on the plane to go back to Sweden. And that's like 4,200 miles from North Little Rock. So the reality sets in of, like, we had all these great times, but we're probably never going to see her again. Like, that's it. Like, that's terrible. That stinks. Like, we're never going to see this dear person likely again. That's just the nature of it. She lives 4,200 miles away across a pond, a big pond. Okay? No way we're going to see her again. Unlikely. People we love move. People we love die. The disciples are grappling with this reality. The very beginning verse I read there, it said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Why are their hearts troubled? Well, Jesus has been telling them, I'm going to go away. I'm going to die. You will not see me again. I am going to leave you. There is a little caveat, though, is that he's going to be resurrected. But they've never seen that happen before. This is untrue. So we're reading the Bible and we're thinking, oh, no big deal. He's going to come back in 3 days. Chill out. They've never seen this happen before where someone predicts their own death, dies an atoning death in their place and comes back. And so they're obviously worried. They're going to miss him. They've had 3 glorious years together with Jesus, their master, their teacher, their Lord. And they're wondering what's next. They don't know how it's going to work out. We take for granted he's going to rise again, but their hearts are troubled. There's no reason they shouldn't be worried about Jesus and what's going to happen to him. So today I want to ask, have you had a troubled heart this week? Is something troubling you? Is your heart troubled now? God's word has the ability to uniquely speak to every trouble on your heart, really through one truth, and it's that Jesus is the way. He suffers to be our way to the Father. And so as we look at our text today and we think about losing people, losing friends, losing even Jesus, not being able to reconcile even the what is our life about, the things that are on our hearts, the troubles of our heart. The obvious point here is the disciples don't know. They're limited. They're creatures like us. They just don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's the purpose. They really are misunderstanding what Jesus is telling them. And so Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So they're worried. He starts talking about a house. He's going to go and prepare in his father's house, actually, if you look at verses 2 and following. He's going to go to the father's house. There's a lot of rooms there. He's going to prepare a place for them. And it's sort of obvious that that's an analogy that Jesus is using to describe heaven. That we live in this tension of like, we're not where we should be. We're made to live with God, and that we're in we have one foot in this old age where we're experiencing alienation and the curse. And then through Jesus now, we actually are entering into a new age. It's breaking in of this glorious ending of where God's making all things right. He's overcoming his enemies and he's cleansing sinners. And we're looking forward to that day where everything's right again. And that's this Father's house illustration. All the rooms there that he's going to prepare. He's going to make the way for us to live with God forever. He's going to make the way to the Father. The Father's house is going to be opened up. That's the glorious good news he's going to tell. So your hearts are troubled, but think, there is a Father's house coming that I'm going to prepare. There's going to be good news for you. You have to wait and you have to be patient for it, but I'm going to make that way happen. That's what he's doing. In both his death, in his reigning, or his resurrection, in his reigning now, and eventually his coming again, he's bringing about his Father's house, or heaven on earth. He's bringing it to happen. Okay? He is the way to the Father precisely because he is the truth and the life. He's the truth. If you were here in the very beginning of our little church plant, back in the olden days, we were meeting over at the, we've met in several different places. You know, that's the way it works. Yeah, but we met over at the studio, our first preview service, and we talked about John 1. And a lot of these themes are right there in John 1, that he is the truth. He narrates God. John 1 says that no one's ever seen God but the Son. He makes him known. We see his glory and truth. He comes and makes that known. He's the truth. He tells us about God. He tells us what God demands of us. Jesus is the way because he's the truth. He's also the life. He's also the light that brings life to all men, to all mankind. They may have eternal life. John 3:15, right before 3:16, it says, he's come that they may have eternal life in him. John 11:25, this is one you might want to write down. It says, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live by believing in me, and he will never die. By believing in him, you will never die, you will live. And then Jesus says, do you believe this? This is the gospel, that I can make you be with the Father forever simply through your belief in me. Now, what does it mean to believe in him, the way, the truth, and the life? What's that mean? It means trusting in him, resting upon him, looking to him, resting upon him. You know, when you're climbing a wall, and you're like, have you ever been to climb up in Norman? You climb the wall, and like, you really have to have somebody to back you up. They won't let you climb, fortunately, they won't let you climb the wall unless you have safety, unless you have a belay, someone down there who's watching you and has you're connected to their belt, and so they can just pull back on a rope if you fall and save you. That when you climb the wall, you're faithing in that person underneath you. And that's what we're doing. When we talk about what is faith in Jesus or believing in him, what is it to have eternal life? He has to be our way. And he has to be our truth. And he has to be our life. That we can have no other life but in him. So he's gonna rearrange some things in our lives. So the two points on your bulletin, if you're a kid and if you're an adult as well, there's two things you've got to know when you're thinking about what does it mean that he's the only way. Well, first, we've got to believe in him. We've got to believe in Jesus. Okay? And then we've got to invite others to Jesus. We must believe in Jesus. So you can't claim to know God while disconnecting from Jesus or saying that there's another way. It's clearly set out here that Jesus is the way. There's no other way. I am the way. There's a definite article there. The way, not a way among many. He's exclusive. Exclusively in Him. We rest upon Him. So we got to really wrestle with that. That doesn't sound like tolerant or accepting of all things, but when it comes in respect, comes to respect the way to the Father, it's only through the Son. And we got to let that sink in. We have to believe in Jesus. We can't just sort of hedge our bets and sort of believe in Jesus a little bit and then believe in some other things. That means we're going to reorient our lives. You know, if He is the life, then that means that I have to reorganize some things about my life. You know, and it would be good for me to spend time with Him. I always recommend 20 to 30 minutes a day at least. Spending time in His Word, reading the Proverbs, reading the Gospels, reading the story, getting to know Jesus and praying to Him through those things. He becomes your life. He becomes your truth. He becomes your way. He defines what's real and what's not, what's true and what's not. We have to believe in Him. Secondly, we've got to invite others to Him. We've got to invite other people to Him. If He is exclusively the only way to heaven, and that is good news, then we have to tell people that. We can't love people and leave them behind. If there's no other way, we've got to lead them to the path. I met a fifth grader last week, I'm this pastor guy, I'm starting a church, and you know, hey, you might want to invite your family to come to our church. And this little girl looked at me and said, my family's atheist. I'm like, whoa, okay, all right. So conversation killer right there. I'm like, okay, awkward. So, I meant to say, well, we'd love to have you, you know, come check it out, you know, but I just kind of left it alone, and I didn't go any further. You know, it's one of those things, I was like, well, I was an atheist. I could have said, well, I was an atheist at one time, too. You know, but I didn't have a snappy comeback. I was just pretty shocked that the fifth grader was outright said, hey, I'm an atheist, you know, at the time. So, we're here for that. We're here for that person who is not believing to become a believer. That would make me very happy to see a lot of those stories of people who go from unbelief to belief in the way, the truth, and life. That's why we're building another church. We're very future-focused. We long for future people to come to Christ. We want to have a solid and wonderful children's training for worship. We want to have that. We want to be good at planning churches in the future. We want to be future-focused because we want to see other people know Jesus and be invited to Jesus. If you're looking for more like understanding on how to really do that well today, how to be outward-focused and outreach-focused and evangelistic, there's a book I recommend called Get Real by John Leonard. If you've never read it, it's a good summer read. And, you know, we've got 4 days left till summer, right? So it's as good a time as any to order that one up on Amazon Prime and get it here before it starts. You can read it pretty easy and get through it. And I'd love to talk about it with you if you're interested. I'll meet with you. But make that a priority, personal evangelism. And in a few weeks, we have a guest speaker coming in who's going to talk about personal evangelism as well. His name is Jack Spates. We're going to have him in to talk with us a little bit about that. So let's look forward to that. Put that in your mind. I want you to think about those sort of things. If this is true, if Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, then that means we must believe in Him, and two, we must invite others to believe in Him as well. It's a very simple thing there, but when Jesus talks about heaven, He says it's a place of many rooms. His Father's house is a place of many rooms. It means, hey, it's not full. There's room for more people here. The party is going to be big and wonderful, and we want to bring more people in. That's what Jesus is saying there. So how does he say He's going to go and prepare this place? Now, when we talk about preparing a party or preparing a place or a house, that means getting all of our junk off the floor, you know, firing up the Scentsy, you know, getting the potpourri laid out, you know, cleaning the bathrooms up, you know, like it's a lot. It's pretty work intensive to really get ready for people to come to your house, right? If you got guests coming to stay at your house, you got to get a bed ready for them, you got to change the sheets out. a lot going on there, you know. So is Jesus going to just do some preparations at the home of the Father, you know, here? That's not it at all. You know, it's a different kind of preparation he's doing. What he is doing is the atoning death. He's dying. When he says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you," this is not a party we're invited to. We're not acceptable. We're not on the guest list yet. We have to be made ready for this. And so when he says he's going to go prepare a place for us, he's really got to prepare us. He has to literally go to the cross and die for us. For him to prepare a place means he has to die for us. He's going to go and be betrayed. When we look to, "I want to get there," you know, there's this old image in Christianity of like, when we look at God, we're on one chasm of a canyon. There's a canyon here, and there's God's way over there. We can't get there. Or you think about this, you know, like when you think about like, how do we get there? Well, you know, it's obviously not through our works, because like the illustration goes that if I wanted to swim to God, no matter how good of a swimmer is, the distance is like, you know, going from California to Japan. You know, it's like you just can't swim that distance. You can't make that up. Someone has to do that for you, and Jesus does that. We cannot do it. He has to be the way. We don't help out. We don't aid in it. He is the way. He's got to go and be that for us. And how is this comforting us? Because when I look at my own life, when I look at the things that trouble me, at the end of the day, they're not my responsibility. They're God's responsibility. When I look at how, like, where do I stand with God, and I look at my mismatch of righteousness and sin, and I can easily be discouraged about and wonder and question my salvation, but that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life means that I can have full assurance of my salvation, because what I'm doing is I'm resting in Him and not in me. Not at all in me. Faith means I'm looking to someone else. I'm looking to Jesus to be the way, the truth, and the life. That means that all my losses are temporary. That when I look at my foreign exchange student friend and say, "I hope to see you again," I might not. The only person I know that I'm going to see again is Jesus. He says you will. He says I'm going to come back. And you can see, when I tell you something, you know, it may or may not happen. When Jesus says he's coming back and you will see me again, it's going to happen. In fact, it will happen. If you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:15, or just make a note that this verse exists and read it later, I'm going to read this for you. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 18. It says, "According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive," meaning all of us who are left until the coming of the Lord, "will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words." So one thing we do as believers who believe in Him is we don't just invite outsiders to hear these words. We actually invite insiders to hear these words. It says there, "Therefore, encourage each other with these words." When we tell one another the gospel, we're doing a great service to one another. That's what fellowship is. We speak the gospel to one another. We speak the good news to one another, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and life. So when your friend is down, you tell him, "Jesus is your way, your truth, your life. He's your assurance. He's your identity. He's your worth. He's your value. He is what is wonderful about you. He loves you in spite of your sin. He loves you to make you beautiful. He loves you to make you that beautiful bride, the picture we saw earlier. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is that." So we can go trusting as a Christian that we have assurance in Him. And that's why you ought to believe in this. That's why Christianity. You remember John, when he writes this book, he's writing it so that you may believe in the Son of God and have eternal life in Him. He's picking these stories, he's telling you these things because he wants to present a compelling case for why this is wonderful, why Jesus is the way and the best. And so if you're on the fence about Him, investigate this. No other religion out there ever makes these claims to say, I'm the way. They just say, here's a way. Here's a bunch of rules. Here's a journey you need to go on. Here's some good tips. No other religion has the assurance that Christianity has. It's a way to God. It's a way to know the Father. The only way to know Him is through Jesus, faith in Him. Other faiths, you do a bunch of things, and you can die not knowing where you are, what your status is, that God's pleased with you. We can know that today, not because of anything we've done, but because of Jesus.